Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Last week, in a 10-to-1 vote, San Antonio City Council passed a $191 million plan that would provide job training, rent assistance, and small business grants, among other programs, for residents struggling with the COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 Community Recovery and Resiliency Plan provides money across four major areas: workforce development, housing security, small business support, and digital inclusion. How are you managing in the pandemic economy? Do you see your place in this plan, how it can help you? Give us a call. What do you want to see out of a recovery and resiliency plan for San Antonio? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @TPRSource. We're joined this hour by Ron Nirenberg, the mayor of the city of San Antonio. Mayor Nirenberg, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Also with us is the city manager of San Antonio, Eric Walsh. And City Manager Walsh, great to have you back.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
So, Mayor Nirenberg, tell me about this $191 million plan. This is a big, big plan.
Yeah, it is a big plan. I would say, with respect to the size of the challenge in our city, though, it's a start. The $191 million represents a portion of the recovery and resiliency program that actually bleeds over into our general budgeting priorities for the upcoming fiscal year and likely to extend beyond that. I mean, one of the things that we've been doing since the pandemic began was really taking a look at the essential priorities of the community, knowing that, all of our priorities essentially have shifted as we've gotten into this pandemic because, the ground, again, has shifted underneath our feet. So as we worked through the COVID-19 city-county working groups, we identified food security, housing security, unemployment issues, small business support as major themes of the recovery, and those are again, carrying over into the recovery and resiliency plan.
Eric Walsh, city manager, tell me about how you're going to manage this. $191 million, you're asking that $191 million to do a lot of things.
Well, we are, but let's put it in context. We've got a $2.6 billion operation down here. The $191 million is really based upon guiding principles that the council adopted within the ordinance. And the guiding principles are important because if there is additional federal funding that is pushed down to local governments, we wanted to have the foundation set for what are the things that need to be focused on from a community standpoint. And just high level, those five guiding points were, or guiding principles were, ensuring public health and safety, that equity, that we braid our funding appropriately. What that means is between local, state, and federal dollars, we're leveraging where we can, that we're building up the community's resilience, and you'll see that in our plan, especially in the areas of digital inclusion and distance learning, and then the well-being of the community. I mean, the mayor just mentioned it, but what we've been through the last 4 months has exposed some inequities in our community, down to some kids in our community not being able to stay connected to school. So where do we want to land on the back end of this? And we certainly, I think the mayor and the council have decided that we want to be in a position where we are a little bit more resilient as a community and a lot better off in terms of the economy.
So, Mayor Nirenberg, this plan, is it a response? Does it come from a sense of responsibility, necessity, or opportunity? Do you think that there will be parts of the city that actually will be better off at the end of this program?
I do. I think we're all going to be better off as a result of the program, because as we build resiliency into our communities and ensuring that we can weather economic downturns and, in this case, a crisis, it will allow us to recover from those things in a much more effective manner. And the other thing is, you know, some of the fractures that it's exposed in our economy and in the equitable nature of our city are things that we've known for a while. Now we are all focused on addressing them for the long haul. And when it comes to building opportunity in our community, one of the things that we're trying to accomplish is make sure that, you know, families in our city, individual residents are able to, get back to work and get back to work for the long term. And I think that helps everyone, well beyond the end of this pandemic.
City Manager Eric Walsh, how will y'all be tracking the progress of these plans?
So that's key, because as I shared with council last week, this is not like our normal annual budget or efforts, because it is a variety of both local funds and state funds that, or I'm sorry, federal funds that have very specific criteria. We're going to this month be working with the council committees to finalize our execution plans, with the goal of having all that done by the end of the month. And many of the council committees have already started meeting. We will be providing a monthly financial and progress update to the council, so that if we start to see there's a different need that's been outlined that hasn't been addressed, or maybe one of the areas, the need that we anticipated, it's not there, that we shift that money and stay true to the task. Much of this money is federal in nature and has to be spent by the end of the calendar year, by December 30th. And so we're going to be reporting to the council monthly on both progress and financial status.
So, Mayor Nuremberg, it seems like there is a sense of urgency. There's a need happening now in the homes of San Antonians, and you have to get the money out the door. Many people, though, are calling for community input.
Yeah, and you know, the nature of this is that we have been working with a sense of urgency from the very start. You know, when this pandemic occurred, we started to see the food lines or the lines at the food bank extended. We knew that people who were without a paycheck, who were already cost burdened in their homes, were going to have a harder time, staying in their homes. So we took measures to avoid evictions and provide for extended rental assistance. And we've done this in a very public manner. The working groups have been public in the sense that we have had the reports out by council on a weekly basis. We continue to have community members represented throughout the working group process. And then as we get into the actual implementation of the CARES Act program, the priorities that have been set by the council, the court, as well as the public, as we get into the implementation of the Recovery and Resiliency Program, this is going to be within the council committee, which will have a very healthy public dialogue throughout the whole process.
We're talking with Mayor Ron Nuremberg, Mayor of the City of San Antonio, Eric Walsh, City Manager, about the COVID-19 Recovery and Resiliency Plan and how this plan impacts you. There's got to be a way to figure out how to get the money into the hands of the families that really need it, job training of the workers who need it, the digital divide support for the students who need it. How does that work? How do you get in line for that? Give us a call if you have a question or a comment, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The COVID-19 Recovery and Resiliency Plan is a solution, hopefully, for many of the problems that are impacting many people in San Antonio right now due to the response of the coronavirus. We saw our economy shut down in many ways. Restarting it in a smart, effective way is important. Spending every dollar's got to do the work of $3 or $4 in order to get the economy that San Antonio is accustomed to. How do we do that? And how do we make sure that we're helping the working people of San Antonio? If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. We have a voicemail.
My name is Tonya Carpenter. I'm trying to find out how we were to be notified if we even qualify for assistance. Thank you.
Mayor Ron Nirenberg, how does Tonya get some information about these programs and if she qualifies?
Yeah, we have a website set up at covid19.sanantonio.gov that has links to all the different kinds of, and it has links to where we are with the crisis itself, but also provides access to the various assistance programs, whether it's for small businesses, renters, homeowners, all the various aspects of the CARES Act programs that are available. If someone doesn't have internet access, they can call 311 and get shifted to the right department. But in addition to that, the caller was speaking directly to the rental assistance programs. We've been working directly with the landlord community, the apartment association, and they have been very proactive in ensuring that folks that are on the bubble who are affected by COVID-19 in terms of housing have that information available to them. And so they should be able to get some access to information through their landlords and property managers. If someone is in the eviction process and they find themselves in an eviction proceeding, we're gonna have city staff on site there in the courtroom to provide some assistance as well.
City Manager Eric Walsh, who will be handling these applications and disbursement of funds? I know there's already been a big bucket of money used for housing stability during the COVID-19 crisis. Is this that same bucket or is this a new bucket?
Well, it's additional funds within that program. And the council took action in mid-April where we allocated some additional federal funding and reprioritize some local funding to approve a $25 million emergency housing assistance program that was built upon a system we already had in place. These are additional funds. And as the mayor mentioned, our Neighborhood and Housing Services Department has been closely coordinating with tenant groups, landlords, the Apartment Association, and now the Justice of the Peace Courts, where as there are any potential eviction hearings, we'll have city folks there that can help guide individuals that may not be aware of the programs that are available. One of the aspects of the CARES Act approved by the federal government put a moratorium on any property that had been utilized federal funding for the construction, and that covers just over 51% of the rental units in San Antonio, and we really want to make sure those landlords and property owners had an obligation to make sure that folks know that at least until the latter part of August, those protections are in place as they've been handed down from the federal government. So we've really tried hard to get the word out and work with all those groups to ensure that people are aware of their rights.
And to that point, Kim has called in with a question. Kim, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Dave. I am calling from a local property management department at a real estate office, and we've got some tenants that are really trying to fill out these forms. We've determined they need our assistance, and I'd like to find out if I could just send in a bulk of these forms for these folks. We really don't want to see them lose their homes, and we're trying to get them help. Is there somewhere you can guide me with that, Mayor or City Manager?
Kim, thank you for the call. Mayor Nirenberg.
Thank you for the call, Kim. And I'll pass it off to Eric because he's made some significant process improvements to streamline that and ensure that we have people available to help with that process.
Kim, yes, and I wish I could figure out a way to get your contact information because
we can get it offline for you, and we'll get it to you.
And I'll call you, Kim, because what we're suggesting is if we had more folks that did that, it would streamline it not only for the applicants and the landlords, but also for the city. And I'd love to take you up on your suggestion, and I'll contact you after the show.
Okay, Kim, if you can hang on, one of our producers will get your information and we'll make that connection. Now let's go to Adam on the phones. Adam, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And I just want to say thank you, Mayor and City Council and City Manager, for the work you did to get this passed so quickly. I'm a member of District 7, or a resident in District 7. I was reading my councilwoman's notes on the measure and just wondering why there wasn't an allocation of funds towards our public health care system, and especially in sort of allocating those funds to underserved parts of our city.
All right, Adam, thank you for the call. And Mayor Ron Nuremberg, there's a lot in this plan and there is money for public health, but can you elaborate?
Yeah, there's a lot of money in there for health, actually. The Watch, Expand, Assure plan is really the emergency health response to the COVID-19 crisis. In addition to that, there's funds covering payroll for folks that and reimbursements for funds already expended for the immediate health response, as well as PPE, et cetera. But what you're speaking to, and what I think Councilmember Sandoval, who chairs our Community Health and Equity Committee, has spoken to, and we've talked quite a bit about this, is the fact that one of the elements of equity that has been exposed in not just our city, but across the country, is that the disparity in healthcare access, in particular preventative healthcare, has exacerbated the impact and the severity of the illness in communities, particularly communities of color, as well as lower income communities. And that's something that we have to address, and we can't wait for the federal government to do that. That's going to be an ongoing priority. So the work that the City Council, particularly through the Community Health and Equity Committee, will be doing is to establish that as an ongoing priority of the City Council in the upcoming budget years. The CARES Act and the Community Resiliency Plan is one phase of this approach, but this has to be an ongoing annual priority for the City Council to ensure health equity is built into our budget and built into our resource planning. That's something that we're all going to be working on. The funds that are available through CARES Act, some of which are tied to this fiscal year, are going to be expended. A lot of it is going into the health plan and the Watch Expand Assure plan and into the Metro Health Department activities. But this is going to have to be an ongoing priority, and it will be for the council.
Eric Walsh, City Manager, job training, workforce development is a major part of this $191 million, $80 million for that. Can you talk, why is that so significant when we're talking about a pandemic?
Well, you know, the council had three public discussions about where the priorities were in terms of recovery, and we've talked about a couple of them that are immediate in nature. The housing security, small business grants, those are more immediate in scope. But one of the recurring themes that I think we all realize is that our workforce development programs that have been done the same way for the last 20 or 25 years, segments of our economy cratered over a one-month period. We will recover in those areas, but the poverty report that the city commissioned earlier in the year, pre-COVID, pointed to the education level of the community as the number one issue to raise in terms of community standing from a financial standpoint. And so we made it the largest pillar, and it was an investment and ongoing conversations that we had with the Economic Development Foundation, ACD, Project Quest, Alma WorkSource, SA Works, you know, all of these components that got together to rebuild and rethink how we do workforce development. And one of the things that I think sets this plan apart is that we have built in four different distinct paths. There are at least 1,000 jobs that the Economic Development Foundation is going to help get folks tied to employers, folks that don't need a retraining but need a job right now. And it backs this up with a stipend for those individuals and on the job training. There's a short-term training program of 6 weeks. And whether that is in the medical field or in manufacturing, something that can be done quickly. We've got a midterm, a 12-week training program we're working on with Alamo Colleges, and then a longer-term program that'll last 9 to 12 months. And in each one of these cases, they'll include a $450 a week stipend, so those individuals can get money in their pocket, potentially be less reliant on housing security, but more importantly, get them trained in the areas that we know we need jobs. And that was a recurring theme as the council talked about it over the course of May, that we wanted to make sure that on the back end of this crisis that we're in, that folks are in a better position to support themselves and their families in the long term.
Out of that $80 million, there's $10 million for temporary child care support for working families. That has the capacity to help 4,000 children by November 2020, provide 3 months of child care to allow parents to pursue training and or workforce opportunities. Is a temporary child care something you see as a significant as a way to move forward in this that was blocking progress, Eric Walsh?
Well, I think, we looked at models like Project Quest, which has been a local San Antonio model that has been nationally recognized. And I think the key is it goes beyond just child care. It's the wraparound support services for those individuals that need that additional training. And we've incorporated that into this plan because while the model has been successful at Project Quest, given that we've got over 100,000 people locally in Bexar County that have filed for unemployment, we know that folks are going to need help in those wraparound services in order to be trained, in order to get connected to employers, and we want to make sure that those folks that we bring into the program are successful on the back end, and sometimes that means providing that wraparound service.
COVID-19 is not behind us yet, Mayor Ron Nuremberg, and I'm sure you're very aware of that. What do you expect to see with COVID-19's impact on the economy? Is that going to continue for some time, and will it continue to depress our tourism sector?
You know, that's a great unknown, which is why it's the recovery planning across the country is so difficult, is that we are really watching what it is turning out to be a slow and transformative recovery. And one of the challenges that we've had to address through investments in workforce development, a lot of the jobs that people need to get back to are not going to come back for some time or come back at all. And so we have to anticipate what those job markets are going to look like and make sure that our people are prepared to enter those jobs if they require new skills or new education. That being said, a city like San Antonio that is quite a bit reliant on tourism and visitor traffic is going to see some impact, and we know that. And how fast that comes back is still a big question mark. But as Eric will tell you, and as we've talked about before, the hot tax revenue that fuels so many aspects of the city's life really was decimated by this pandemic because, you know, if people aren't traveling, especially if they're not traveling by air, hotels remain empty, and it goes down the line because there are many jobs and many families that are dependent on that industry.
We're talking with San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg and City Manager Eric Walsh about a $191 million COVID-19 recovery and resiliency plan. This is a plan that should help people stay in their homes, get jobs, deal with if they are an essential worker, how do we support them, and how do we put San Antonio in a position to recover quickly and maybe even be better at the end of all this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's plan to recover from the COVID-19 economic response and some resiliency, how to deal with maybe future pandemics and how to make San Antonio that are capable in this highly competitive economy that we're in. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The plan deals with economic insecurity for many folks who are having trouble paying their rent, also workforce development, small business grants, and the digital divide. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We have an email from Sonia. Is any money going to be put aside for programming if schools decide to do modified schedules? A lot of us cannot pick up kids in the middle of the day and have them home at 3 days a week. It hits us hard financially. So Mayor Ron Nirenberg, if you could talk about coordinating with schools and other businesses and governmental entities in order to make this plan effective.
You know, I would say that, obviously, number one, schools have been working through their own plans and their own recovery plans as it relates to additional funding that they've received. But we have a lot of organizations that we work with on an annual basis here in the city through our Department of Human Services and others to help fill in the gaps. If it does occur that there are challenges because of school closures, obviously those organizations are going to be called on in a pretty significant way, as will the work of the city and the county to support them. So, that's not a bridge yet crossed. We do have ongoing work through DHS and those organizations. If it's time to scale up, then that's something that obviously we'd have to focus on.
Digital divide, Eric Walsh, city manager, that's a big focus, one of the big major pillars of this plan. How does that work? How are you going to try and fix that? We've been talking about that for a while.
we have. And I think the last 4 months have exposed parts of our community to how they're susceptible to the lack of connectivity. And so our direct conversations have been with the Edgewood Independent School District and SAISD, and we have worked to prioritize areas of those districts. And the concept would be to build out all 1,600 of the city's traffic signals are connected by a fiber system throughout the city. And the idea conceptually is to utilize that network along with the school districts to allow an entry point from a family's home into the school network. And it's very narrowly focused right now on connecting to the school network. Many of the school districts over the spring semester were handing out hotspots and Chromebooks to maintain connectivity. That's a good short-term solution and much needed. But can we build a network in those portions of town where a student can use their logon and password to access the school network? And that's what we're going to be working on. And I'll say that we'll be working closely with those school districts in those prioritized areas and really engaging AT&T and Spectrum and maybe other providers to see how they can help. But I think we've got a backbone there. And I think we need to be bold about it. We have an opportunity to make a difference in terms of distance learning, and it's the reason why it's one of the major efforts of this plan.
Mayor Ron Nirenberg, the plan also talks about watching the spread of COVID-19, monitoring the situation because it's still out there, it's still spreading, and we're seeing numbers climbing day by day in Texas that are going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, we are, but a word of caution, when we look at any one particular part of the data, we've got to make sure that we're understanding the context. The lab results that come in daily ebb and flow in some ways because of the backlogs that are created just by the volume of testing that's occurring in our community and across Texas. So it's hard to gauge how we're doing just by looking day to day at the individual cases that are coming in. The better marker for us is the warning and progress indicators that are functions of things like the doubling rate of the infections in our community, and it's taking 29 days to double the number of infections in our community, which is good, very, very good, in fact. But also the things that I look at are the hospitalizations. How many people are being treated in our hospitals for COVID-19? How many of those folks are on the severe side of the illness? How many are on ventilators? And in those numbers, we're staying relatively stable. We do know there's going to be a spike in cases because of the amount of activity that's occurring now as the governor's opened up Texas. But we want to make sure that we don't see a spike in the severity or the volume in our hospitals, which allows us to treat those who are ill. And we can do that in two ways. One is we can pay attention to what the health professionals are telling us, things that we can do to be cautious about wearing masks, personal hygiene, physical distancing, and our community has done very well comparatively with that. And the second thing is we have to be aware that this disease afflicts certain members of our community more severely. People who are older, people who have significant underlying health conditions, we've got to protect the more vulnerable members of our community from being infected at all. And I think our community has really pulled together and done that.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or comment for Mayor Ron Nuremberg and City Manager Eric Walsh about resistance and recovery during COVID-19, call in like Stephen did. Stephen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I just want to thank you all for having this conversation and the work that we're doing to progress our city. My question is specific to local and regional food systems. We know that Maslow's hierarchy of needs is food, shelter, water. And so when we saw the COVID hit, there were just these long lines of food distribution. What type of funding can go into local food systems where we can build resiliency so that when we have these acute and chronic stressors, people have food either in their neighborhoods, in their houses? And I'm specifically talking about urban agriculture and the ability for us to grow food in the city that gets 250-plus days of sunlight.
All right, Stephen, thank you for the call. Mayor Nuremberg, certainly you've been dealing with the food bank and how they've been trying to get food into the pantries all around San Antonio.
Yeah, well, and I want to thank Stephen for the question because I think it's extremely important. You know, we're addressing food security as a triage right now in terms of food bank and supplies of food to families who are without, you know, without income and who need to put food on the table. But part of resiliency is making sure that we can do much more than that as we get out of this pandemic. And what he's talking about with urban agriculture, really addressing our issue with food deserts, healthy corner stores initiatives, things like that are extremely important for building up community resiliency. And it's also important for us to, you know, limit the damage of this disease because, you know, healthy food and being able to access healthy food is also a way we can prevent disease and contribute to wellness. And I will say that this recovery and resiliency orientation for the city is beyond just how we spend resources that are available to us. It's also about policy. And so, you know, Stephen's question reminds us that as we move into post-pandemic San Antonio, we've also got to create policy and address policies that help reinforce that message of resiliency, and that certainly is part of the food system here as well.
Now, small business support, there are grants that are made available for small businesses in this plan. What can you tell us about that, Eric Walsh, City Manager?
So the concept and the plan that the council adopted last week allocated a little over $38 million, and the concept is to work with the Lyft Fund in order to provide grants for micro businesses ranging from $10,000 up to $75,000 for businesses with 20 employees or less. We did successfully have an event here about a week and a half ago where we utilized funds to buy protective equipment and sanitizer for businesses. And we had almost 6,000 small businesses sign up and come by the Alamo Dome a week and a half ago to get those supplies. And I think we recognized early on that as individuals, it was even hard to find sanitizer because of the demand. And so we worked with some of local groups to secure that that product. You know, I think that this is one of the things that the Economic Development Council Committee will be discussing, but the idea is to push this money out in terms of grants and also tie it to on-the-job training that is included under our workforce development. And we're anticipating, we're shooting for at least 1,000 jobs that we can connect to employers that are looking to hire and leverage the fact that there will be grants made available to those micro businesses and get people working.
So these are grants, they're not loans, but you do expect these businesses to do what? Do you want them to, tell me a little bit more about that, City Manager Wolf.
Yeah. So I mean, the idea is, and a lot of the smaller businesses have struggled and maybe may have not had the opportunity to apply for the PPP program that many businesses took advantage of through the CARES Act. And so small businesses, with the uncertainty in the economy and what's going on with COVID, there's a certain expense to reopening. You've got to rehire employees. You may have to restock your inventory. And that expense, I think, adds to a level of uncertainty, not knowing whether or not there's a second wave potentially coming or consumer confidence is lacking. And so the idea is, behind this entire effort, is to heighten confidence, arm companies with the equipment needed to ensure that their employees and consumers are safe, and give them those grants in order to allow those reopenings.
And this primes the pump for the local economy as we try to recover from COVID-19, which is still out there. The number to call is 833-877-8255. If you've got a question for the mayor or the city manager, the source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about COVID-19 resiliency and recovery plan for small businesses, for residents who are struggling, families that are not connected to the internet. There's a digital divide component here. There's job training opportunities voted in this. This is a transformative plan for San Antonio as we're dealing with a public health crisis. If you got a question or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We have Wolf on the phones. And Wolf, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Wolf, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Sorry about that. I wanted to ask, I own one of the small tour companies downtown that just does outdoor walking tours, specifically ghost tours. It's really fun. And we're really suffering right now because of limits of groups in San Antonio. And I was just wondering, is there any plans to allow groups of more than 10 to gather anytime soon? Or is there going to be any special mandate for tours, being that we're outside, so it's a little easier to social distance, and we're not in an enclosed room with filtered air or anything like that?
Well, thank you for your question. Mayor Ron Nirenberg.
Yeah, well, at this stage of the reopening, I appreciate the question, Wolf. You know, if you're doing your physical distancing and you're wearing of masks, we're following the governor's guidance on that. So the items that aren't expressly listed in the TDEM, the Texas Division of Emergency Management, in terms of how these reopened businesses are performing, if they're not spoken to that, then we would seek an opinion from the Texas Division of Emergency Management. But at this point, you know, we're encouraging people to maintain the mask wearing as well as the physical distancing, and things are going pretty well.
City Manager Eric Walsh, talk about the timeline for getting money out the door into the hands of people that need it with the recovery and resiliency plan.
So I mentioned that earlier. So the council committees are doing some work this month of June, and there'll be additional public input, as the mayor mentioned earlier in the show. The idea is to kick all this off and start executing the plan the first week in July. I mean, I think they're... You know, the mayor mentioned it earlier. There is a sense of urgency. We do know there's a there's an immediate need out there, and we think the structure that the council approved last week, and a little bit of work that needs to occur at the council committees this month, that it'll be moving quickly.
What's the best way for an individual who needs help to get it, Mayor Ron Nirenberg?
That needs information on the whole program or assistance or anything like that?
Yeah, like rental assistance, or they say, I need that job training program or something else. How do they get in line?
Yeah, well, right now, everything related to the pandemic and our recovery efforts can be found at covid19.sanantonio.gov. And so there will be, you'll find there, you know, everything from our status updates and how we're doing with the health response to the various assistance programs that are available, whether it's rental assistance and housing or small business support, et cetera.
Now, we got about 5 minutes left in the program, and I kind of wanted to shift focus a little bit about something that is in our headlines right now. Mayor Ron Nirenberg, people are calling for a rethink about how we fund the police, and they're calling it defund the police. That's a slogan. It's not a policy. What are you hearing when people are telling you defund the police? What does that mean in San Antonio?
You know, yeah, well, when I hear people talk about defunding the police, what I hear universally the saying in cities across the country is a recognition that we have sort of turned our attention of building safe and healthy communities totally towards the police department. And that as police department budgets across the country, including here in San Antonio, have grown, it's crowded out other things that you would use, that you would do to build a healthy community. The less there is to deliver equitable services, whether it's parks, libraries, nutrition programs, or anything else, we reap what we sow. And in this case, what we're seeing in urban communities across the country is poverty. And our response to that has been to, put more into police sources, police resources. And so I think what people are saying universally, and when I talk with folks that are on this message, they're talking about restoring a healthier balance in how we build safe and healthy communities again. And one of the challenges that you will hear, Dave, is that this is also a function of our contracting situation. You know, a good 8 out of every $10 that we put into that department is underneath the umbrella of the collective bargaining agreement. So we have challenges with balance, and people in the communities that are protesting are seeing that struggle and want to engage it in a way that I think we have to pay attention to.
City Manager Eric Walsh, as you work with the police chief about these issues, I mean, are y'all having conversations? Is this something that's still hasn't hit your desk yet?
No, of course it's hit. I think it's hit everybody's desk, Dave. But you know, let me add that you know, it won't be. You'll recall this 5 years ago when the city established the financial policy that we were going to not spend more than less than 66% of our budget on public safety. It was because of the crowding out issues that the mayor just mentioned. It is what folks are talking about right now when they talk about defund the police. It's the appropriate balance, and that is part of our financial policy, and it was something that was established under a previous council with my predecessor. I mean, what we saw was the increasing amount we were spending on public safety was literally crowding out everything else the city did. And I think a lot of cities are recognizing that now. And I think we need to continue to have that discussion, but with the council and the community, because there is an appropriate balance. And as the mayor mentioned, I think it's been on our radar screen for at least the last 5 years. I suspect that we'll have continued conversation this year, this month, as we prepare for the fiscal year 21 budget. But it is an appropriate balance. And if we're spending 8 out of $10 in the police department and in the fire department on collective bargaining agreements, we're going to need to make some changes. And I think that's a long-term strategy that will need to be addressed immediately.
But Mayor Ron Nuremberg, when you go around to neighborhood associations and you talk to people in the neighborhoods around San Antonio, and first thing they're going to talk about is public safety issues. I mean, that is still a major concern for many people in San Antonio.
Sometimes it is, Dave. Really, sometimes it is. A lot of times we hear it's you know, it's streets, it's drainage. But the truth of the matter is, if we starve neighborhoods of infrastructure and services, what you find is poverty. And that can't be our solution, is to address poverty simply by increasing the amounts that we tilt towards public safety to police it. You know, and so I think people understand that, you know, an evolution of our city budgets across the country can't happen overnight. But we do have to change our thinking about how we build community in our cities and what we produce when we don't invest in our people and in our communities. And I think this has been an eye-opening experience for cities across the country as people have marched and are talking about equity issues that go beyond just, you know, police policy.
So, City Manager Walsh, how do we get from a slogan, defund the police, to a sophisticated, well-thought-out policy?
Well, I think it balances on the council's priorities that they, as elected officials, will derive. I think part of it will come from the community, obviously. I think part of it will come from the administration. And you know, from my standpoint, there is a high degree of need in a lot of areas throughout our community and limited resources. So as I get the input from the council and develop the budget, it's ensuring that our financial policies are not so lopsided so that we're forgetting about the other needs that the community has. And again, you know, we're probably one of the largest cities in this country that has within our adopted financial policies that we won't spend, that we have a limit on public safety spending. I suspect in the next couple of months, you're going to see similar policies adopted by other large cities. And I think the question for us, since we've had it in place for 5 years, is what should it be going forward? Should we try to squeeze that down? Should we think through how we balance it going forward? And I'm going to be prepared for that conversation because I'm sure the council is going to want to have it, and I'll be sure to give them a recommendation of what I think is achievable. The police contract ends next year in September 21. And we will be in the throes of negotiations early next year. So now's the time to have that conversation.
And finally, Mayor Ron Nuremberg, is the community going to have, I mean, I'm sure they will, but how do you want them to express their views about reforming the police department?
Well, they're already doing it. That's why they're out in the streets and raising their voices. I think you're going to see that. There is quite a bit of youth energy out there, which needs to be sustained. And of course, we have every way you can communicate with your city representatives available to people throughout this. Tonight, we're going to have a public hearing that follows a council briefing that's public. It'll be on TVSA. It'll be on the web. People can tune in to, you know, the policies, procedures, protocols, budget of the police department as it relates to everything else that we do as a city. So it starts now, and I look forward to an engaging discussion that turns into a more resilient community.
Mayor Ron Nuremberg, City of San Antonio, thank you so much. City Manager Eric Walsh, thank you so much. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.